Good morning and welcome to another episode of Phillies Today. It's Kyle Forsini hanging out with you guys on a Game 3 game day for the National League Division Series. The Phillies coming up to New York to play the Mets in Game 3. Series tied at one apiece after the two teams split at home. We've got a good pitching matchup on deck in theory today. We'll dive into that, look at how both of those starters have fared against the other team respectively so far this season, as well as a little bit in the past as well. Preview what I think is going to happen in the remainder of this series, and also look around what's going on in every other Division League series, because something has happened this year that has never happened in the history of the National League Division Series and the American League Division Series. Since the Division Series came into play, came into format, what has happened this year has never happened before in history. And what is that? We will talk about that a little bit later in the episode, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But I want to dive right into this, to this game we have going on tonight between the Phillies and Mets at 5:08 p.m. So hopefully not as many shadows as the Phillies hitters were complaining about after Saturday's game. Hopefully no more shadows, or not as many shadows, or not shadows for as long in this game, with the start time being an hour later. It's Aaron Nola versus Sean Manaea on the hill for the Phillies and the Mets today. Aaron Nola, obviously somebody that we look at as, we like Aaron Nola. He got the big contract. He wanted Aaron Nola to stay. He didn't want to let Aaron Nola walk, but it also brings into play the, well, it's Aaron Nola. You never know what can happen. You never know when that blow-up start is right around the corner. He didn't finish the season great. He did throw seven innings with one run ball against Milwaukee when they were trying to clinch a playoff berth, which was huge. And then obviously he did pitch against the Cubs later in that series when they were trying to clinch the National League East. He threw six innings, gave up two runs. He had thrown six shutout before he got hit around a little bit in that sixth inning and gave up two runs. But seven hits in that game, nine hits in five innings against Washington to close out the season. So a little bit of an up and down for Aaron Nola in his last three starts going into the playoffs. Now, also, on September 13th, Aaron Nola did pitch against the Mets, and this was at Citizens Bank Park. This was not at Citi Field. He pitched against the Mets once at home this year and once at Citi Field, so we'll talk about both of those starts. Now, he went 4 1/3 and gave up six earned runs against the Mets his last go-around. That was at Citizens Bank Park on September 13th. That was the game, if you remember, where he had not given up a hit through, I think, the first five innings or first five or 4 1/3 innings. He had been kind of perfect, and the Mets hadn't touched him, and then all of a sudden he gets tatted for six runs in that fifth inning, and just kind of the wheels fall off, he implodes, and everything just kind of goes down the drain. Phillies ultimately lose that game 11-3. So that was what happened in Aaron Nola's most recent start against the Mets so far this year. Now, the only other time that he pitched against them this year, as I mentioned, was at Citi Field. That was all the way back on May the 14th. Now, I don't blame anybody if they don't remember what the game was on May the 14th. This was part of that series, if you remember, when the Phillies and Mets played each other two home, two on the road. Not something you see very often. They played Monday and Tuesday at Citi Field. They drove back home on Tuesday to come play in Philadelphia on Wednesday and Thursday. Phillies ultimately took 3 out of 4 during that stretch. So if that gives you any hope, any hope at all, kind of like what we're doing right now, they play two at home in Philly, then they go on the road, they play two on the road in New York. They did win two in New York in a row earlier this season, so they've done it. They have proven that they can win two games at Citi Field. We'll see what happens with the crowd being a little bit more raucous, but they have been able to prove that they can do it this year. Let's hope that they're able to do it today in that start that Aaron Nola had at Citi Field. He was masterful. He threw a complete game shutout. Nine innings pitched, no earned runs, obviously. Eight strikeouts, only four hits for the Mets that day. He was opposed by Jose Budo, who is now in the bullpen for the Mets, so it was a different time of year for the Mets for sure, and I believe every reliever that they used in that game is no longer even on the team, so it was a different Mets team for sure, but one that Aaron Nola was able to quiet down and to have a really good start against when the Phillies needed him, and they need him right now. They need Aaron Nola to be the guy that he was in 2022 early in the postseason, in 2023 early in the postseason. Just so you know, if you're not aware, you know, they do the Christopher Sanchez starting game two thing because they like having Aaron Nola in a hostile environment, somewhere where they felt he would be more comfortable as opposed to Christopher Sanchez. And in large part, I agreed with that decision. I had come on here, I had said I would rather have Christopher Sanchez be that number two starter. I anticipated them being up 1-0 at the time. Unfortunately, they lose the Wheeler start when, you know, no fault of Wheeler's. But I would have rather had Aaron Nola making this game three start because I thought there was a chance that they were going to be 1-1 going back to Citi Field. I just thought it would be the opposite. I just thought it would be Christopher Sanchez losing that start and Wheeler winning his. Instead, you get the 1-1 going back in a way that you didn't necessarily anticipate. But regardless, you still get Aaron Nola in game three in Citi Field. And the stats may not back up exactly why we want this. Now, you still feel more comfortable with Aaron Nola in a hostile environment than you would Christopher Sanchez. Christopher Sanchez had an ERA below 3 at home. He had an ERA over 5 on the road. There was a big contrast in how Christopher Sanchez pitched depending on where he was pitching. And Aaron Nola, a little bit different, but what's the concerning part for me, and look, I don't want to sit here and I don't want to raise concern on this episode because I do think the Phillies are going to win tonight. I do think Aaron Nola is going to throw a good start, and we'll touch on the offense as well as why they're the big key for what's going to happen in the next two games at Citi Field. But Aaron Nola in the postseason, now in 2023, last postseason, he never pitched on the road, believe it or not. He had 4 starts in the postseason last year. They were all at home, and 3 of the 4 were very good. Obviously, we know what happened in game 6 in Arizona, or against Arizona. We don't need to rehash that, but you have to go back to 2022 if you want to get to Aaron Nola's only road starts in the postseason. Now, he started 3 times on the road that series. He started game 2 against the Cardinals in that wild card series, if you remember, after they had done the heroics in the 9th inning in game 1. He started game 2, and he largely shut down a Cardinals lineup that isn't bad, or wasn't bad at the time. Nola went 6 2/3 innings, so he got into the 7th inning before he was taken out. 6 2/3, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. A gem of a start from Aaron Nola. I mean, just all you can ask for. That was when they were trying to get into that NLDS to play the Braves. He does it. They could do it on the back of his shoulders. They win that game 2-0. Then Aaron Nola's next road postseason start was game 2 in San Diego. And if you remember that start, that was the game the Phillies went up 4-0 very early in that game. There were some misplays defensively by the Padres in that one. Some players were having some issues with the sun. Aaron Nola gave up back-to-back home runs in the second inning to Brandon Drury and Josh Bell. Then it didn't have any more scoring until the 5th inning when Aaron Nola ultimately started to implode as well. He went 4 2/3 again, 7 hits, 6 runs in that game. So not a good start for his second go-around on a road postseason outing. Good in the first, not good in the second. His third one would come in the World Series. He was the guy who started game 1 of the World Series against the Astros. And obviously, the Phillies come back in heroic fashion and win that game. JT hits the home run in the 10th inning. But what can't be lost on you is the fact that they did go down 5-0 in that game. And Kyle Tucker was the main reason why they went down 5-0. He had 2 home runs off of Aaron Nola in that game. Nola went 4 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs against the Astros in game 2 of that World Series. So I say that to say, even though we would rather have Aaron Nola on the road against the Mets instead of Christopher Sanchez, Nola has the pedigree. Nola has the slow heartbeat. Nola's been there and done that before. You don't really know what you're getting out of Sanchez, even though we should trust him more. And even though I think Rob Thompson should trust him more than he does in terms of Sanchez, Nola's still going to have that belief in your heart just because you've seen him for longer. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. Nola hasn't had great starts on the road in the postseason. Now, anything can happen and anything can change. Aaron Nola can go out there and throw a gem and make us all forget about those 2 postseason starts in a row that he had in 22 that weren't good. And he's a different pitcher now than he was in 2022. But what you need to look for Nola is you need to see that he's keeping the ball down. You need to see Nola living at the knees. As soon as Nola starts elevating the baseball, he has issues. And obviously, throw that 2-seamer into left-handers who think it's off the plate and it dives back on and it's strike 3. And if it's up in the zone, it doesn't really matter because hitters are trying to get out of the way. But anyway, but when Aaron Nola is living at the knees, and when Aaron Nola is living even lower than that, that's when he's at his best. As soon as he starts to elevate, that's when there's issues, especially obviously when the curveball starts getting elevated, when he hangs that, his body gets a little slow, his arm speed's not as fast. All of a sudden that curveball gets hung. All of a sudden the home runs start coming. That's why that's one of the big issues with Nola, obviously, is the fact that he gives up a lot of home runs. You never know when the home run is just kind of lurking in the shadows. It feels like at any moment that home run could pop up and could be the Achilles heel for Aaron Nola. So look for him to be living at the knees. Need that from him tonight because it's going to be a raucous environment at Citi Field. It's going to be a madhouse and in that stadium. It's their first home playoff game in 2 years. They did have home playoff games in 2022, and the Padres were there, and they were able to take 2 out of 3 at Citi Field. So it has been done. The Mets haven't proven that they can lose at home in the postseason, even as early as 2 years ago. So if you can get a good start from Aaron Nola tonight, and if the bats can hit, and I'm going to get into the bats in a minute after I preview Sean Manaea for you, there is a chance that the Phillies can win this one fairly easily, I think, if you are able to get the bats going, and it was a good sign to see those bats going on Sunday. Now, Sean Manaea, the starter for the Mets, unfortunately, has been very good against the Phillies, and is especially this year. He's had some really good starts against them. His last start against the Phillies was September 21st. That was in the middle of the four-game series that they played at Citi Field. Kyle Schwarber led off the game with a home run, if you remember. And Shohmanai, by the way, has been very good this year. Shohmanai on the season was 12-6 with a 3.47 ERA. He's not somebody that's really had a very successful career as a starter in the big leagues. He's bounced around. He's been in bullpens. If you remember, the Phillies faced him in the Padres series in 2022 in Game 4 of the NLCS. The Phillies hit him all over the yard. They tatted him for, I believe, 4 or 5 runs in that game when he came on in relief. He was terrible. Like that, you know, that pitcher is still in there. And this Phillies lineup is still the same lineup that was able to hit him around in that game. The Phillies can still figure out a way to get the Shohman Eye. I have no doubt about it. Now, look, they haven't done it so far this year, really. Like I said, September 21st, he goes 7 innings, only gives up 3 hits, does give up 3 runs, but has a very good start against the Phillies in that one. Schwarber leads off the game with a home run. I don't believe they got another hit until they got another run, which I believe came in the 5th inning. They had another home run from Castellanos in that game, but Manaea had been largely unhittable against the Phillies so far in that start. I mean, he was just kind of mowing guys down left and right and not really giving the Phillies hitters any sort of chance. So that was his most recent start. But he has had 2 other starts against the Phillies this year. Now, they were all either at Citi Field or in London. So he did start one of those games in London. We'll touch on that in a minute. I'm going to circle back to the London game. He started on May 13th against the Phillies. It was a game that the Phillies won 5-4. It was in that series where the Phillies had that home and home, you know, the 2 on the road in Citi Field, 2 on at home in Citizens Bank Park. Shohmanai in that game was great. He went 6 innings, only gave up 4 hits, 1 run, 6 strikeouts. It was the game where the Phillies eventually did get to Edwin Diaz. And Edwin Diaz is somebody that the Phillies have seemingly got to his entire career. He's got a 6.45 earned run average in his career against the Phillies. So even though Diaz is one of the shutdown closers in baseball, he has not had the year that he would have liked to have had this year. Diaz is still hittable to the Phillies for whatever reason. Obviously, we saw that on Sunday when they were able to get to him again. But Manai had a really good start in that one. 6 innings, only 4 hits and 1 run. It was a great start for him. He did also start in that 3rd game that I mentioned in London. This was the start where the Phillies did get to him. The Phillies had Manaea in game 1 in London. He went 3 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. Now, it's of course over the pond in London. Everything's different. Who knows if the mound was different, the atmosphere is different, the fact that the players, you know, have to travel all the way over to London. So there is sort of a built-in excuse for Shohmanai in that one if he wants to describe why London wasn't a great start for him. But it is good that the Phillies were able to see the ball well off him, obviously, in that game. They were able to score some runs on him early and often in that game and get him out of the game fairly quickly. So I'm looking for the same recipe for tonight. For the Phillies, I need them to get out to an early lead. If you can get out to a lead and quiet down that Citi Field crowd, look, it's going to be hard to quiet them down, period. This is a fan base that didn't believe in the Mets until the final week of the season. Brandon Nimmo, if you remember, was begging for the fans to show up when they were in the stretch run. I mean, they flat out were not showing up to watch the Mets play. Well, they are going to be there tonight, and they'll be there tomorrow as well. It's postseason baseball. They're going to show up. You need to be able to quiet that crowd early. You need to quiet them early. You need to quiet them often. If you can have the offense kind of produce the same way they did in game 2. And look, I know that that's a lot to ask. I know that 7 runs is not something that's going to be easy to come by, especially against the Mets pitching, which has been really good. Even if the guys aren't necessarily household names, and even if the guys are journeymen who have really just kind of figured out their careers this year against the Mets, it's important for the Phillies to try and go out there and get runs early and often. You know, if you can get a run in the first inning, maybe 2 runs in the first inning, get some way to settle down that crowd a little bit, have Aaron Nola have some cushion as soon as he goes out there to take his post. I think that that's big, and I think that that's imperative for the Phillies, because this is a team that was 41-40 on the road this year. You know, for all the great stuff that they did at home, 54-27, they do lose game 1 of this series, right? So they lose the home field advantage right out of the gates in this series by losing game 1. They struggled on the road this year, 41-40 on the road. Like I mentioned, they had a really good start on the road where they were able to win a lot of series early in the season. Kind of like this is just the story of the 2024 Phillies, you know, great early in the season and then not as good as down the stretch coming home. But they did not play well on the road to end the season, and they lost a series in Milwaukee. They lost a series against the Mets in New York. They then lost a series at Washington to end the season. Like, it wasn't good baseball for the Phillies when they were not at Citizens Bank Park, just flat out. And I'm looking to see if they can kind of right that ship. They haven't shown you, especially of late, that they can play well on the road, but If you can do it at Citi Field and you can do it in that environment, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a big factor. That crowd is going to be raucous, and I'm interested to see how the Phillies respond. Now, obviously, on the road in the last couple of postseasons, they've been able to win two straight in St. Louis like they did in 22. They take game one against Atlanta 2 years in a row in the NLDS. Obviously, go 1-1 against Atlanta there, but they always steal game one. And then when they played the Padres in the NLCS 2 years ago, they were able to take game one in that series as well. And the Diamondbacks, they went 1-2 on the road last postseason. So it's going to be interesting. They are not necessarily the greatest road team in the playoffs, but they have had their fair share of wins. But you need the offense to come alive. Phillies are 0-7 in series where they have dropped game one in their history. Need that to change as well. And who better than to do it than this team that we have believed in for three straight years now, that has had opportunities to win the World Series, that has been able to win the division for the first time in over a decade. Like, this team has our support, as they should. We should be right behind them in this game and for the rest of the series, really. Need a good start from Nola. Get the fans behind him and have the offense have a really good performance tonight as well. All right, so I mentioned, just real quick to wrap up here, that there's something that has happened in Major League Baseball this year that has not happened in the division series since its inception. It has never once happened, and it feels like that is almost hard to believe. You know, hard to believe that this has never happened in the history of the division series. All four series are tied at one apiece going back to game three. That's never happened before. Never happened. I'm shocked about that. The Phillies were the only higher seed to win game two. The Yankees, who were at home, the Dodgers, who were at home, the Guardians, who were at home, all lost game two. So the Phillies series has kind of been the parallel, or the literal opposite, of what's gone on in the other series. Every other wild card team was able to win game two. The Mets obviously not winning game two, and the Phillies did not win game one like every other team that had the bye had, but the Phillies came back out and won game two. So, you know, just a different way of the division series happening, which is strange. It's weird that it's never happened before, but it's interesting that that's where we're at, because all of these series have been interesting. Now, obviously, the Phillies play tonight, but the Dodgers also play at 9:08 tonight. That's going to be Walker Buehler versus Michael King on the mound in that game. Michael King's only playoff start so far this year. He went 7 shutout innings with 12 strikeouts against the Braves. Braves lineup's a little bit depleted at that point. The Dodgers are a different story, but that series, if you haven't paid attention to it at all, is very contentious, has a lot of bad blood between the two teams. I'll try and run down for you as quick as I can, because I'm running out of time here, exactly what happened in that Dodgers series in game two. Now, the Dodgers win game one, 7-5. Padres jump out to an early lead in game three. Game two. Mookie Betts, in the first inning, hits a ball to left field. That looks like it's going over the wall for a home run. Jurickson Profar, who's the left fielder for the Padres, runs over to the fence, jumps, catches the ball with his glove fully like in the stands, in the middle of people's laps, like makes an amazing play, but doesn't turn around to show the umpire that he has the ball. He stays looking at the fans, kind of jumping around, looking at them, showboating a little bit. I don't know if taunting is necessarily the right word, but just kind of showboating, letting the fans know, like, hey, I caught this, you know, and obviously the Dodgers fans are not happy about it. The Dodgers have no idea that he caught it. Mookie Betts is running around second base with his hand in the air pointing towards the bullpen, and he thinks that he hit a home run, and then all of a sudden Profar turns around and he has the ball in his glove. So right out of the chute there, you know, the fans on the Dodgers side and the Padres players with Profar making that play, they're already on bad terms. You know, Profar's kind of chirping at the fans. I'm sure the fans are chirping back at him. There's some instigating going on there. It kind of dies down for there. And then a couple of innings later, Profar runs over to the stands and he hands the ball to a Dodgers fan. Seemingly a nice gesture. Seems like he was just giving a Dodgers fan the ball. The fan then chucks it back on the field. Profar, you know, kind of chuckles a little bit, runs back to his post. But then all of a sudden, fans are throwing baseballs on the field at Jurickson Profar. And he, you know, freaks out, runs over to an umpire because balls could have hit him. It could have hit him in the head when he wasn't looking. He runs over to an umpire. They, I'm sure, get the fans thrown out of the game. There was a big pause in the action. So there's the issue with the Padres players and then the Dodgers fans. There's the Manny Machado thing going on where he threw a baseball into the Dodgers dugout, which apparently you do not ever do. If you're the visiting team, you don't throw your baseball around into the other team's dugout. Like in the warm-ups between innings when you're throwing the ball around. He threw it into the Dodgers dugout instead of throwing it back towards the Padres. I guess that is a no-no. Dave Roberts talked about it, said that he thought Manny, you know, it was clear intent behind the throw because it whizzed kind of by Dave Roberts. there seems like there's some bad blood there. It's like, you know, both of these teams obviously hate each other. Jack Flaherty, who started the game for the Dodgers, was chirping back and forth with Manny Machado. They were yelling that they were going to see each other in the parking lot. Like, this series has a lot of juice to it. And I am very excited to see, you know, what's going to happen when that series goes back to San Diego, because this is exactly how the series went for the Dodgers and Padres in 2022. Not with necessarily the two teams going back and forth to one another, but the Padres were in LA to start the series. The Dodgers won game one, and then the Padres won three straight. They stole game two against the Dodgers in LA, and then they won the next two at home in San Diego. So it'll be interesting to see if that's going to happen again. It'll be fun to watch. It's good baseball to watch. Now, obviously, if the Phillies don't play the way we want them to tonight, it's going to be harder to watch that game. You're not going to really want to watch it. But if the Phillies win tonight and the Phillies put on a good performance, everybody's going to be wanting to watch the Dodgers-Padres game. Everybody's in a good mood. You want to see what's happening in that game. So that's coming up tonight. Like I mentioned, it's Michael King versus Walker Buehler in that start. And then the American League doesn't play again until tomorrow, with the Guardians and Tigers tied at one apiece, going back to Comerica Park. First Tigers home playoff game since 2013. Tigers not set on a starter yet. It's going to be Alex Cobb starting for the Guardians, who just had his birthday the other day. Alex Cobb injured for a while this season, but has come back. He's a solid pitcher. He was an all-star last year for the Giants. He's a good pitcher, but just has not thrown a lot this year. So we'll see what he's able to do in that game for them. Royals and Yankees is the other American League series. It's Clark Schmidt versus Seth Lugo tentatively in that game. Both of these teams, and the Yankees especially, do not have the starting pitching depth. I don't think the Yankees necessarily have the lineup depth either. And the Royals are a fun, scrappy team. Cole Reagans threw a gem for the Royals yesterday. Seth Lugo threw a really good start against Baltimore in Game 2 of the Wild Card Series. He only went 4 1/3 innings, but he only gave up one run, had the 6 strikeouts. Like, they're pitching for the majority of that series just stymied the Orioles' offense. So the Royals are kind of riding the hot streak. They won yesterday 4-2 to even that series up. And all four teams will be playing on Wednesday when the Phillies and Mets play Game 4. Tentative starters for that game, Jose Quintana versus Ranger Suarez in that as well. Now, real quick, before I wrap up, I just want to touch on two things I'm not entirely a fan of Rob Thompson doing, which he's done the last 2 days, is outrightly saying that Bohm is going to start in Game 3. And then he was asked also the other day if Ranger Suarez was going to be the number 4 starter for sure in this series. And he said, without questioning anything, just said, Ranger is my Game 4 starter. The only reason I'm saying I don't necessarily love that is because you don't know what's going to happen here in Game 3. If Aaron Nola does not pitch the way that you want him to pitch, it's all hands on deck for Game 4. There is no Game 5 if you're not able to win Game 4 in that scenario. You know, Ranger Suarez, I guess, is going to be your starter in that game, sure, but, you know, he's on a short leash for sure. And I would have Zach Wheeler ready to come on in relief in that game. I know Wheeler likes having the knowing what rest he's going to be on when, but in that instance, you know, there's no time for that. There's no time for Zach Wheeler to have to try and rest. I mean, it's all hands on deck. You need him in that game if need be. And so Rob Thompson kind of just coming right out and saying that Sanchez was going to be his, or Ranger was going to be his starter in that game, I don't love that he's kind of, you know, showing his hands so early before those games even happen. There's a lot of things that can change in the series prior to that. Now, maybe he's bluffing, maybe he's not. I'm not sure. Time will tell in that specific scenario, but just not a huge fan of that by Rob Thompson. All right, game two. Phillies obviously win a huge one, get the momentum back, get it back to Citi Field at one apiece instead of a dreadful 2-0 Mets lead. You got Aaron Nola on the hill tonight. You paid him $172 million for a reason. Aaron Nola is a guy that has been there. He has done that. You need a vintage Nola start tonight. I think we're going to get it. I think we're going to see Aaron Nola go 6-7 innings, 1 or 2 runs. I think he'd sign up for 6 innings, 3 runs, you know, right off the bat. I think if you told me right now, would you take Aaron Nola 6 innings, 3 runs tonight? I would take it, but I'm hoping for better. I'm hoping that Aaron Nola can go 6 or 7, give up 2 runs or less tonight. Keep the Phillies in the game. Have the Phillies offense explode. It wasn't that long ago that the Phillies won a game 12-2 at Citi Field just a couple of weeks ago. So they have had an offensive breakout in that stadium. They can do it. And hopefully, when I come back on here next week, we're talking about a Phillies NLCS series. Need a big one from Nola tonight. Need a good series for them up at Citi Field. Let's win the series in 4. And let's go on to the National League Championship Series. I'll be back with you guys next week. Until then, go Phils! And need some good play these next 2 nights.